GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. Gee, we're privileged to have the spin doctors back on the PDQ Door telephone line. Who is the Democratic operative that lends his talents to our program each Tuesday?
John Wadsworth. I don't know if you're celebrating Virginia's win or not, but congratulations if you are. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, fellas. I do believe I did pick it on this show a few weeks ago, and I just want to rub that in.
Okay. Brent Littlefield, we don't recall you even filling out brackets, but welcome back to GHRT, the Republican operative with ties to Win Maine. Welcome back, Brent.
I did not fill out brackets, but John Wadsworth and I actually, you know, look, again, Democrats and Republicans, even though John's wrong about everything. Did you know John's wrong about everything? Just put that out there. John and I actually have a common friend named Joby Fortson, who's a UVA fan, and we figured that he might resurface sometime in the next 3 years. I think he's slightly excited, so.
We'll watch for that. Guys, let's start at the Department of Homeland Security and Kirstjen Nielsen resigning her letter on Sunday, and she's staying on for a smooth transition. She writes that the nation is safer now than when she joined the administration. And now some other changes at the Department of Homeland Security. John Wadsworth, what do you make of it?
It's a bloodletting. Resignation of Kirstjen Nielsen was not overly surprising. People have been watching her for some time. The removal of the Director of Secret Service was a shock to a lot of people. Really, people did not see that coming in any way, shape, or form. The fact there is no deputy, and now the legality of who was picked to be the acting secretary is being questioned because they went over another person, passed over someone. So there's a lot of confusion there, and people are very, very worried about how this is going to turn out.
Bryn Littlefield, to you, do you see it as a bloodletting, the changes at the Homeland Security?
No, I mean, I think that the president wants to go in a different direction. And look, we're in a situation where you have a president that's a business executive. I've continued to say this 100,000 times here, and it's not your typical government. And sometimes doing things a little bit different will shake up the culture and improve the culture. And, you know, the media loves to make this into giant feuds, and I hate this person, he hates me, and she hates me, and we're all fighting behind the scenes. And sometimes it's just running the place like a business. And we are seeing an interesting shift with this particular president as opposed to other presidents for literally decades and decades, in that we have a lot fewer managers in government, across all of government. There are tremendous numbers of positions that have been left vacant all throughout the entire government, not just at this particular department. And what's happening is the president saying, I'm the one running the show. I'm not just a political president where I cut ribbons and make speeches, but I'm actually working during the day running the show. I know the media made fun of the president for his schedule, because he had quote-unquote blocks of executive time in there, and the media made, you know, really ridiculed him for it. But literally it is that. It's executive time, and I think we're seeing more now kind of behind the curtain that the president's actually running the government.
Well, Johnny's – I watch mostly New England state stuff, so I don't get involved in the weeds down in Washington because I'm not there. But the president's got a lot of acting this and acting that – And that presents a bit of a problem. There's not much vetting going on, and there's not much chance for the Congressional Oversight Committees to have any insight into this. Is this a pattern that the president likes? Brent says he's a businessman. When you don't have a number one, you've got an acting, it opens up the door, doesn't it?
Oh, very much so. It's a really big problem. And it's hard to keep up with how many. I think we're up to 7 or 8 acting officials now. We've seen names pulled before they could get to the Senate floor. Recently, they just pulled their nominee to be head of ICE. It tells you that they're not doing the vetting, as you said. They're not putting deeper thought into who these folks are. And the fact is, you can't run a government with 4 people in the White House. It really takes a lot. And with all these acting people, many of whom have never worked in these positions before, you have to wonder, what is the plan here? what is the long-term idea? Because it seems like they're flying by the seat of their pants.
Well, again, Brent, you're close to the scene, but it does demonstrate a lot of hardliners inside the White House. John Bolton and senior advisor Stephen Miller, they seem to have tremendous power now inside. Is that right?
Well, again, we're turning this segment into palace intrigue. You know, I don't, and I'm not hitting you for that, George. I know that that's what everybody sort of focuses on. I think we should just focus on what policies are coming out and the changes that are being made, regardless of who's doing it. And you know, and behind the scenes, who's pulling the levers. We have, you know, one elected official at the top of the government. That's the way the executive branch works. And he or she, whoever's in that job at the time, the president of the United States, is responsible to the voters. And then everybody underneath them works for them. I know that's hard, too, for some folks that believe in a giant administrative state, but the reality is that we're supposed to go to the elected official, supposed to be the chief executive. So let's just see what policies come out, and we can judge the policies based on the way that they operate.
Spin Doctor's Brent Littlefield, John Wadsworth. I'll tell you what, Brent, let's stick with you and talk about a policy. The Trump administration administration ruling that asylum seekers, some of which would have to stay in Mexico until their court hearings as they seek asylum. And now a federal judge in San Francisco temporarily blocking that measure. What do you make of Trump's, the administration's efforts, and now the San Francisco judge saying, no, you can't do that?
Did you just say on the air, Rick, did you report that a San Francisco judge made an anti-conservative president ruling? Did you actually make that shocking announcement?
Don't make me turn on the sarcasm filter.
Sarcasm filter. Disabled.
Let me shut that off if you're going to talk like that.
I mean, I'm just dumbfounded that a San Francisco judge would be against a conservative president's policy. It's just, I don't know. It's hard for me to believe. That's really my commentary. I'm just going to sit here in shock.
I'll go over to John Wadsworth then. A San Francisco judge says the Trump administration cannot return some asylum seekers to Mexico as they await their court hearing. John, what do you make of the ruling?
Well, first of all, why are we calling it a San Francisco judge, Rick?
Well, that was the, now let me be honest, that's what the news service sent to us. And I'm not disagreeing that it is significant or that it is telling. It's often that a judge in San Francisco, as Brent points out, there's a reputation there. Oftentimes, people go judge shopping. They find someone who is going to disagree with a sitting administration.
But Rick, you're calling it a San Francisco judge to pull up various emotions in people when it really has nothing to do with the city of San Francisco. It's the Northern District of California. It's a judge. Judges are appointed by presidents, not by, that judges have nothing to do with the cities in which they sit. A judge blocked it. And a judge blocked it because there was a flaw in which they'd enacted it as to whether or not it was legal based on some very tiny bureaucratic language. This was not a discussion of whether it was moral or ethical. This was not a liberal or conservative decision. The plaintiffs found a flaw in how it was enacted, and the judge had no consideration, no choice to what to do but call it, because, as usual, the Trump administration had thrown something together, put no thought about it, not done the homework, and this thing was sunk because it was against the rules. They had basically made a paperwork foul, and they got called on it. It had nothing to do. So causing a San Francisco judge, it's just trying to get people's emotions up and poke when it had nothing to do with that.
I will let our news service, to which we subscribe, I'll pass along your comments to them, John, to let them know that they are being biased.
Well, he's an immigration judge. He's Judge Richard Seaborg of the Northern District of California. And it was a lawsuit requiring the administration to allow people who've already been returned to stay in the U.S. after their next court hearings, stop returning new people to Mexico under the policy. And he put it on hold. The ruling maintains that the Immigration Nationality Act, allowing the government to a contiguous country, does not apply to asylum seekers. This was a legal issue. I know we like, Brent, we like to get into the who's what and where and who's up and down, but it basically was a legal ruling.
Well, look, again, the reason I put out the judge and the specific court that they're in is that, you know, we have no problem at all with liberal judges making up law that they don't agree with. And now in this case, the judge is trying to claim that he's trying to follow the specifics of the law. So it's sort of all over the place. And that's part of the overall issue we've got in the country. But the issue, the bigger, broader issue here is that we do have an immigration problem, and it's taken the president a million comments and pounding on basically the table to get the media, many of the media, to finally wake up the fact that we really do have what amounts to a crisis when you have 100,000 people approaching the U.S. border, basically trying to push to get in. And this is a mess, and it needs to be cleaned up. And what I finally like, and I've said this on this program 100 times, is that we're finally focused on the home countries where these folks are coming from and trying to hold them accountable. One of the greatest things I think that's happened under this administration is saying that we're going to start to affect your U.S. aid if, you know, huge amounts of your citizens keep coming up and trying to enter the United States illegally. And it's about time that we start putting the onus back on where these folks are coming from. And hopefully these folks, if they claim that there's problems in their home countries, they'll help fix those problems in their countries rather than just dragging their kids in very dangerous treks up to the north to try to enter the United States illegally.
Well, John, actually, immigration has changed a little bit. It used to be people coming over to get jobs and go back the other way. The people that are really flooding in now are really families are coming in and saying, all right, we're asking for asylum, which is legal under the U.S. law. There is a lot of problem there, but it's sometimes advertised in a different way. You agree with that?
Yeah, look, a lot of these problems come from the fact that we have messed with our immigration laws for decades now. They used to have this ebb and flow of immigration. Now we don't. People are coming, but they're unable to leave and come back. So we're not having as they were over previous decades. Because of that, it creates a different thing. So it seems counterintuitive, but having people be able to move back and forth among the border actually created more people leaving than coming. Now what we're also seeing is a humanitarian crisis because the country is known as the Northern Triangle, which is where a lot of these folks are coming from, are under extreme violence from local gangs. And, we're not talking about people who are coming here to get a job. We're talking about people who are running for their lives.
Let's hit one more item with the spin doctors, if we can. And Brent, we'll start with you on this one. Adam Schiff, some calls for him to apologize following at least the summary of the Mueller report saying that there was no collusion or there was not sufficient evidence to prove collusion and no sufficient evidence really to prove any wrongdoing. Adam Schiff, do you think he'll heed these calls?
No, I mean, Nancy Pelosi's behind him. He raises a ton of money for the Democratic Party. But this is a guy that's gone on TV for now years attacking previous chairman Devin Nunes, saying that he was putting out falsehoods when it was Schiff that's been putting out falsehoods for 2 years, claiming he had, I believe in one interview, saying definitive proof that there was these problems with the Trump campaign, of which the special counsel says there's not. And so you have a guy that spoke that claims he has classified information, claims he has access to classified information, which he does as a member of the committee, saying that having viewed the information, he's made a determination that basically the President of the United States is guilty and basically guilty of a crime, which has not been true. And I really do think it's a disservice to the country when you have somebody that's supposedly supposed to be helping our intelligence agencies running around playing politics on TV. John will tell you this, that we've had intelligence committees for, you know, decades in this country, and it's been a committee that's very, very quiet. You hear very little about them because they're really there to do the tough work, working together in a bipartisan way to handle intelligence issues for the country, and instead now we've turned it into a political football. I think it's pretty terrible, and I think he should leave, and let's bring the committee back to normalcy.
And John, should Schiff leave, and should he be held to task for what Brent terms as falsehoods?
I don't think you'll see him move at all. One is, right now things are so split, zero people have any credibility with the opposite side right now. What Schiff has done is make comments on what we've all seen in plain sight, whether it was, you know, multiple meetings between the campaign and Russians that were well documented. We had multiple indictments of Russian nationals. But the president actively calling out, hey, Russia, go hack these emails and find them. I mean, these are what the things he called out for. And, you know, as we've said in the past, collusion wasn't a crime. The investigation was never about collusion. It was about Russian interference. And obviously we did find that due to the indictments. As to collusion, which is a rather broad, amorphous term, define it as you wish.
All right, last moment here of the show. The Chinese woman arrested at Mar-a-Lago had a numerous number of electronic devices. Just quickly, Brent, that's a strange place down there where people are coming and going all the time. There seems to be some kind of security problem.
Well, I mean, that's up to the federal government and the FBI, if it's a foreign entity involved working with the CIA, to make the determination in the Secret Service to do the actual physical protection of the president and the first family. So it is a public facility in that members can come and go, and it's not a completely closed-off facility. So I trust that hopefully our agencies will be able to handle this, but it just proves to you that foreign governments are trying to influence the United States. We just talked about Russian collusion. We have the Chinese. We have the North Koreans. Again, I said in this program before, none of these countries are our friends. They're out trying to, push the envelope themselves, and we need to be vigilant against it.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.